Pog. The Japanese government is examining the authenticity of an audio message and photograph purporting to show the execution of one of two Japanese hostages. Holly Williams reports.
The image was accompanied by an audio recording, purportedly Kenji Goto speaking in English, saying that Haruna Yukawa had been beheaded and demanding a prisoner swap. Kenji Goto's freedom in return for a woman who's currently being held in Jordan and who attempted to detonate a suicide bomb in a hotel back in 2005.
Police hunting for a drug lord have added his name to the state's most wanted list. Warrants for the arrest of 40-year-old Darren Rispin were issued when he failed to appear in court last year. Joanne Elliott from police headquarters says he has 27 current charges against him.
Relating to the supply and possession of prohibited drugs, as well as dealing with the proceeds of crime and directing a criminal group. However, he was given bail. Warrants were issued for his arrest when he failed to attend a follow-up appearance at Campbelltown Local Court last year.
Detectives are appealing for information after a man was stabbed while trying to break up a fight in Sydney's southwest. The 40-year-old was knifed several times in Mount Annan early this morning. He's being treated at Liverpool Hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Families using air conditioners could have to pay an extra $700 a year under new laws. The Telegraph reports the energy regulators trying to use price signals to discourage households from turning their machines on during peak times. Aircon use is blamed for a massive growth in demand for electricity at certain hours, with 3 in 4 homes in the state using it. Drivers are being reminded there'll be a heavy police presence on the state's road over the Australia Day long weekend. Officers say many appear to have forgotten on day one of Operation Safe Return as 1,000 motorists were caught speeding. Acting Inspector Mick Timms says motorists need to take their time or face the consequences.
The roads will be rather busy, so you do need to plan your trip, make sure that you are well rested before you set off, and do expect delays. Your vehicle isn't a time machine. It's no good saying that you are late for a sporting event, which is why you were speeding.
In other news, the Premier is promising to trial cutting-edge shark-detecting technology to protect swimmers from attacks at popular beaches. And parents trying to adopt overseas will be assisted by a new bureau to cut red tape and help them negotiate with foreign governments. In sport, Novak Djokovic has bolstered his status as Australian Open favourite, defeating Fernando Verdasco in straight sets to reach the fourth round. The four-time champion faced his first serious test of the tournament against the Spaniard, triumphing 7-6, 6-3, 6-4. He says it was a good match.
It was a big challenge for both of us. He was a former top 10 player, somebody that loves playing on a big stage. It's a powerful game, so I'm just glad to go through in straight sets.
Aussies Nick Kyrgios and Bernard Tomic are on court for their fourth round test today. They'll be hoping to break a decade-long drought and progress to the men's singles quarterfinals at Melbourne Park. A host of stars are expected to be welcomed back into the Australian side for the one-day international tri-series clash with India tomorrow at the SCG. This includes Shane Watson and David Warner, who missed Friday's 3-wicket win over England with hamstring complaints. The Sydney Sixers have booked a place in the Big Bash League final in Canberra after defeating the Adelaide Strikers by 87 runs. And in the A-League, Sydney FC have ended their mid-season drought with a 5-1 win over Central Coast, and Adelaide United beat Newcastle Jets 7-0 at Cooper Stadium. This is Macquarie National News. It's 7:04.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
The chance of afternoon showers and a storm today. Tops of 35 degrees in the city, 36 in the west. Drizzle tomorrow for Australia Day. Right now in town, it's 22 degrees. Humidity is 90%. Winds are from the west-northwest at 4 kilometres an hour. It's 21 at Bankstown.
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet with the new album from O'Shea, The Famine and the Feast. Garth Brooks' album, Man Against Machine. Carrie Underwood's greatest hits, decade number one. And new albums from Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson, Trisha Yearwood and the Doobie Brothers. All albums available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
It's time to land a better deal at Lander Toyota. It's time to grab a great deal on the unbreakable Hilux SR5 turbo diesel dual cab. It's time to experience Lander Toyota's famous customer service. And it's time to grab a better deal right now at Lander Toyota. Hilux SR5 manual from $47,990 drive away. So make time to come and see us today. You'll always land a better deal at Lander Toyota. Visit landertoyota.com.au.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debt into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Big Rebecca throws a dummy. Gets rid of one. Redown Sopo. Clear run to the right. Can he get away from it? Sopo! 5 metres, 3 metres. Over! What a try!
Here comes Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt storming through. He takes it again. Blake gets the silver. Oh, he's retained his title in the most emphatic way. Rochelle to kill it. Kennedy!
Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Ray Thomas and Stuart Clark.
Welcome back to the program. Coming up this hour, Michael Hawkes, and we'll talk to CEO of the FFA, David Gallop. He must be over the moon with the way the Asian Cup's going at the moment, with Australia into the semis up there in Newcastle. And, as we said earlier, Japan, the Blue Samurai, or the Samurai Blue.
Gone.
We spent so much time worrying about that. Like, yeah. During the summer show.
Favourites and everything. And
during the summer show, we must have taken up, if you want to do it in airtime, hours and hours of what's happened. When are we going to play? How are they going to play? Who have they got? Where are they? Not going to play them. They're gone.
Did you watch the UAE game with Japan?
Yeah, I did.
How dominant they were, and they just couldn't score. Now, that's the way footy goes at times.
It was no different to us versus South Korea.
Good point. Yeah.
We had, you know,
dominated
at one stage. It was 400 passes to 200 passes, and we had opportunity, and they basically couldn't run anymore. And we just couldn't keep the ball in the goal. That's what it reminded me of. So Australia will now take on the UAE, which will be a cracking game. And they've got to be outright favourites. And we'll have a look at tab.com.au to work out what the market is shortly. But Australia have got to be outright favourites, I would have thought. There's a couple of SMSs that have come in, Ray.
There is. One, read the quarantine facilities from Norm Stew. And has everyone forgotten about the Olympic site at Horsley Park? Unless the ATC is getting paid for the use of its facilities, why should they continually prop up Sydney racing? I know where Norm's coming from, but actually that Olympic site at Horsley Park is near the quarantine station as well, Stu. That quarantine station, Eastern Creek, is actually going this year, hence the need for Sydney to have a new quarantine facility. To convert the Horsley Park site into a site that's suitable for stabling and training overseas racehorses for the championships would cost a lot of money. If they can get the green light for Canterbury, which it's not a lock yet, Stu, then that'd be a cheaper alternative. And as you said earlier, everything comes down to the dollar.
It does. The Canterbury thing interests me in a sense that it's a really suburban track. But what about the Friday night races? And did that not work?
I think the issue with Canterbury was accessibility for the punters.
Sure.
It's a great venue.
It is fantastic.
When you're there, it's a fantastic venue, day or night.
Yes.
As a punter, you're right on top of the action.
Yeah.
You've got that velodrome-like feel. I think it's a perfect venue for night racing, except the accessibility. Very difficult to get in and out. If once a light rail is built in the Moore Park precinct, then almost certainly lights will be erected at Randwick. That will be the perfect facility for night racing, given that magnificent new grandstand and how easy it'll be for patrons to get in and out of that Moorpark precinct via light rail.
Because every sport's trying to get people to come, whether it be cricket or football, racing is no different. Is night racing a bit like the day-night cricket scenario where if you build the lights, they will come?
Good point, Stuart. I think night racing has a lot of potential if it's done right. It could be. I see where you're coming from. Racing's version of 2020 sort of thing.
Yeah, sure.
It's an opportunity for that to happen. They have tried it in Melbourne. Earlier this month, there was a race meeting where they had 20 minutes between races. Now, logistically, that causes all sorts of problems for the stewards, etc. Yeah. Punters may miss getting a bet on, etc. But it's worth a try, isn't it? And night racing is a different element to the sport than day racing. You don't get the elite Group 1 horses racing at night, very rarely anyway. You do it on a couple of occasions at Moonee Valley in Melbourne. So it's a chance to try those certain things, Stu. Whether they work, I guess you don't know until you try them.
It becomes a night out for people too, and it's a thing to do. And
We had that discussion before about going to the races, which I'm going to drag you out one day to show you, but I know it's a long day.
Corporate facilities only, Ray. Okay. I'm not going to ask you, but just in the public.
You come to the media room.
Corporate the facilities, cold pies, food, drink, no, prawns.
It's a long day, isn't it? It's a long day. That's the issue a lot of people have. It's a long day at the races. So a compact version at night time could be ideal. It's certainly, I know the Racing Administration has had a look at it, but I think it's when they do shift eventually to Randwick from Canterbury that's when they may try it.
Well, it'll be a bit of a watch this space, and I think it's got a lot of merit. Nighttime sport, I know people don't like it with rugby league because, you can't take... It's made for TV. Monday night, I love getting on Monday night, turn on the TV when I get home from work.
Absolutely.
Watching the footy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care who's playing.
Yeah.
I love watching it, and... Yeah, that's what it's made. That's what it's made to do.
Another SMS here, Stewie. As a promotion, how did the name come about for the Sixers?
Cricket Australia came up with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing to do with. They just basically said, I know they had one of these big marketing agencies. It might have been Saatchi or someone like that. Yep. Basically said, this is what it's going to be. Sydney Sixers. They wanted two Sydney teams: the Sydney Sixers, Sydney Thunder. I got to say, when I walked into the first meeting, you've got the job. You're general manager of the Sydney Sixers. Right, so I turn up to my first meeting.
Did you know what you were doing?
Look, I knew what I was in for. I didn't think it was going to be as complicated as it ended up being. But I walked in and they said, what do you think? I said, do we have to play in pink? That was my first question.
Magenta, isn't it?
And then it got changed to magenta to get away from the pink thing. But they said, yes, you do. I said, you sure? Yes, and that was it. And it just stopped from there. And then Sixers, and then it sort of just grew on me. The best thing that's happened is they play in magenta now. It is the most popular colour because females wear it, little girls wear it, and that was like the target
and
market.
And real men wear pink.
Real men wear pink. But I know Jeremy, he wears a lot of pink, but that's a different story.
Well, that's from Ray from the Central Coast, so I hope that answers his question anyway, Stu.
Okay. Yeah. So
thanks, Ray.
We were talking a little bit earlier about Nick Kyrgios and his hair. Do you like Nick Kyrgios? And you said you're a fan. I'm really concerned about Nick Kyrgios and where he's at with his tennis. I know he's a good player and all. I just want to see him earn the right to carry on like that.
I know where you're coming from, Stu, but I love his animation and I think young people watching the game really would aspire to be like Nick Kyrgios. The teenagers watching tennis and Kokkinakis, these young kids who are taking Australian tennis to a new level. It's almost like a renaissance in Australian men's tennis. And I think Kyrgios has got the game to go a long, long way in the sport. He seems to be able to rise to the occasion. He often gets beaten in the lead-up tournaments to the Grand Slams and comes out like he did at Wimbledon last year. And he came out and went through to the quarters, I think it was. Fantastic. Here he is into the fourth round of the Australian Open. I love watching him, Stu. I love his animation. I love his emotion. I love how the crowd gets behind him. And he uses that energy that he gets from the crowd to play better tennis. I think he's great.
13:53:53. Do you like Nick Kyrgios? Do you think... do you like carry on in tennis? I know we'll go back and say, well, McEnroe, how good he was for the sport. I get frustrated. I get frustrated with the questioning of the umpire. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. It gets my goat a little bit. I want to see him play tennis. And I'd look at the best... And I look at them and I go, well, Roger Federer, he doesn't carry on. Occasionally you get a come on.
Mm.
Rafael Nadal, occasionally you get a come on or a vamos, as he says it.
Djokovic.
If they're the three best, why isn't everyone aspiring to do what they do?
They're three of the all-time greats, Stu. It's extraordinary. The three of the greatest players the men's game have ever seen have come through in one era. and how you aspire to be even half as good as Nadal, Federer and Djokovic is extraordinary. They're actually I had the opportunity to do Wimbledon in 2012, Stu, the highlight of my journalistic career in sports. And I've got to say, those three men are the most amenable, decent, humble men you ever meet. They answer every question at press conferences. They're available, you know, for a certain period of time to the press. Yeah. They sign autographs for hours. They're great ambassadors for the sport, so I know where you're coming from. But like any sport, the kids need their stars to aspire to. There'll be people who will aspire to be another Federer. There'll be kids who will aspire to be another Nick Kyrgios.
Well, yeah, it's not everyone's company, certainly not mine. 0419 767 272 if you want to send an SMS regarding Nick Kyrgios or anything to do with sport, the Australian cricket team, tennis, Asian Cup. Are you on board with the soccer? Are you now a fan? Give us a call, 13 53 53.
Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader, has harness racing covered. There's the Inter-Dominion Championship Heats at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, February 14, with the Grand Final on March 1. And we've got the country action covered with the Goulburn Cup on Australia Day. Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader. These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy's range of products include Coco Joy coconut milk. It really packs a punch in classic chocolate, coffee and banana flavours without the dairy, and it's gluten, soy and lactose free. Then there's Coco Joy 100% coconut water and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Warners Bay Hotel, the hub of hospitality in the Lake Macquarie District, has added another dynamic dimension to its customer-friendly services. Now there's a state-of-the-art tab facility, including more than 20 dedicated tab screens, 5 betting terminals, 7 electronic form panels, as well as indoor and outdoor wagering facilities. A punter's delight. Join Miracle Mal Johnson Saturday, January 31st for the launch of the Warners Bay Hotel's exciting new tab. You'll be hands-on to approve.
Bound in the Carrington Stakes, and That's a Good Idea tops the rise, leads by 2 lengths now from Spurtonic and Pederos on the outside. Knight leads and being switched back towards the inside is making some ground, and Mighty Lucky coming down the outside and further out is Test of Rhythm. That's a Good Idea's got the lead. Knight Legion the inside giving strong chase, and shortly afterward Knight Legion darted through and took the lead. Knight Legion's in front, and Knight Legion goes on to win the Carrington Stakes. Knight Legion wins it from That's a Good Idea. Photo third, Houseman Mighty Lucky. They got a way to Scream Machine, Heart Tester, Test.
Jeez, impressive, Stu. Ninth Legion, probably one of his best first up runs of his career. I think he's set up for a terrific autumn. And Michael Hawkes, I know, is over in New Zealand getting ready for the yearling sales tomorrow. Stu's been good enough to join us. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Stuart.
Hello, Michael.
A terrific win yesterday, Michael. I said earlier, probably almost career best first up performance from Ninth Legion.
Yeah, it was very good. You know, he's always had the ability from early days, and you know, just the older he's got, I suppose, the better he's been. And look, yesterday's effort was outstanding first up, and, you know, it was a really good run.
It's the key to him. Sorry, Stuart, just quick. It's the key, Michael, firm tracks. This horse has ran a great fifth in the Doncaster last year on a heavy track, but I get the sense he really needs firm tracks.
Yeah, he just doesn't like him at all, Ray. You know, he ever since we've had him, even at track work on the grass, you know, he's not that happy in the soft ground. But you know, yesterday he just excelled, and albeit it was probably down a touch in grade, but in saying that, he is a quality horse, and he just done everything right, and you know, it was only first up, but all you can do is win, but he actually did win with authority yesterday, so hopefully going forward it'll be a nice autumn for him.
Ray mentioned fifth in the Doncaster last year, fourth in the Epsom. This year, surely 2015, can it be the year?
Well, I hope so, Stuart. You know, that's sort of the plan, that's the aim. And, you know, he's been running good races, and, of course, if he puts in efforts like he did yesterday first up, going forward, you know, throughout this preparation, you know, he's going to be in for one hell of a time. But, look, I think the key, as Ray said, is dry tracks. You know, obviously, with the starts he had in the Doncaster, he still ran enormous, but just wasn't comfortable. But, look, he's always had the ability. He's a class horse, and so long as he, you know, his mind keeps ticking over, you know, really, really well, which it is at the moment. And as I said, the further he's got into his career, I suppose, the older he's got, the better he's got.
Michael, where to next? Possibly Apollo Stakes?
Yeah, probably, right. You know, we just wanted to get through, obviously, yesterday first and see how he come through it. He's come through it great. You know, he only trialled during the week and, you know, had a nice, easy trial and wasn't out there to exhort himself or anything like that. But, you know, we'll just plan a path. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Doncaster's there, and it's not where you start, it's where you finish. But, you know, he started off this campaign pretty well.
Yeah. Stu, they had another winner yesterday, and Michael, it was a very impressive winner, Mahiri, which I cheered home, Stu, one of the few winners I backed yesterday. But she was good yesterday, Michael, and again, another great James McDonald ride, but she came off that excellent second to a promising horse in Craftiness, and I thought she went to a new level yesterday, Michael.
Yeah, she did. You know, going back when she did run second to Craftiness, I was pretty happy with her that day, and I thought she could all just about nearly but win. Mm. But you know, it turned out that Craftiness won very good, and is a very smart horse. And you know, she's no slouch either. They ran some quick time that day, and obviously yesterday, you know, drawn okay. When they jumped, they just ran along, and James was able to slot her in, and you know, be one off the fence fifth, and you know, just the perfect spot. And when she came around the corner, when he actually got it balanced and kept it balanced without rushing her in the corner, you know, when she really let down, she let down with a lot of authority. And, you know, she's just going places, only lightly raced, and yet another Guy Walter horse, you know, yeah. Guy had her to start with. And obviously, you know, we trained for Kiora as well, and we were lucky enough to pick her up. But, you know, she's just taking some time, but, you know, the same with her. The older she's got, or, the more mature she's got every prep, and, you know, she's actually starting to relax a lot more in her races, whereas early days she just wanted to get running and run through the bridle. But yesterday's effort was outstanding, and, you know, hopefully she can continue the rise, and she's going to probably go somewhere in her future.
Now, you're in New Zealand for the sales. Anything you got your eye on?
Yeah, some nice horses. Obviously, we've got a little bit more groundwork to do today, but, you know, we've been here. Wayne was here Tuesday, and I think Dad and I fly over on Thursday, so you know, we've done some hard yards, and there's some nice horses here, so hopefully we'll come in on top.
When you and Wayne and Dad are all in together, who actually has ultimate say? Who's like, you know?
Don't worry, we have a few fights. You know, they're family squirrels, but I suppose the best part about our situation is, you know, we have an argument or a fight, and, you know, within 5 minutes we've all moved on.
Yeah, sure.
And that's the best part, and I suppose that's why, you know, we are good at what we do and successful, I suppose, because, you know, there's no hang-ups and you just move on, and that's the way it's got to be. But, you know, obviously Dad's the captain, he's the ultimate captain, but, you know, he's got the most experience. But, you know, look, we work really good together as a team, and that's what it's about.
It's a partnership. It certainly works, Michael. Michael, the inaugural summer sprint series in Sydney, I think it's been a great success. The stable's actually won three legs of the five-race series. Ninth Legion won the final race yesterday, and, of course, our boy Malachi won the Starlight and the Razor Sharp. It's these sort of innovations which has given summer racing something a little bit extra this year for Sydney.
Yeah, it has. You know, like, obviously, with our boy Malachi coming down from Queensland, when we got him, obviously, 13 out of 15 starts, 13 winners. You know, you just don't get horses like that, Ray. And he continued on, you know, first up and second up and third up. And, you know, he went a long way in a short period of time with us. But, look, he's got the quality. But it's good for summer. You know, you can get that off-season horse. And albeit, hopefully, our boy Malachi will set him for the Stradbroke, which we have done. He's come back into work now, and he looks fantastic. But so long as you can get some nice horses off-season, you know, there's some nice races, and I think that's what it's about, because obviously everyone loves to target the carnivals, but, you know, you do need to have these off-season races, which they've started to do, so I'm all for it.
And just finally, Michael, I probably can't let you go without asking about the two genuine superstars of the stable, the unbeaten sprinter Deep Field and Chautauqua, the other Group 1 winner in waiting, I think. There was an erroneous report out yesterday about Deep Field and possible retirement. Can you enlighten us at all there, Michael?
Yeah, well, obviously everyone knew a little bit more than what we did.
There
was phone calls, there was messages. And, you know, we know nothing about it. You know, the horse, he's great, he's really good, he's well in the stable. As I've said on previous, conversations on the radio for the media, look, the horse is super, he's really, really well. And, you know, you can't fault him, and he's obviously gone, but we think he's gone to hopefully another level this time round, just in looks and attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's super. You know, he's probably not far away from a trial for stepping out, and he's in Sydney and Chautauqua. Well, he's back in the Melbourne stable, and you know he looks awesome too. And you know, just improve with that spell, and they weren't overly. You know, well, Chautauqua only had the three runs.
That's right.
Wasn't overly taxed at all. So hopefully both those horses got some lovely preps ahead of them. Obviously, this prep we're just trying to keep them apart. Once again, it's not where you start.
That's the hard part, Michael, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, we're in a lucky position, Ray, and you know, you throw Mossman in there and our boy Malachi, you know, four really handy sprinters. So, you know, look, they're both well, they're both great, and hopefully everyone will see them step out very shortly.
Michael, thank you for your time this morning. Well done with 9 to Legion. Good luck in the sales. Tell Dad what to do. It's always the way son tells the dad what to do, and travel safely.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
There he is, Michael Hawks, the Hawks family. There's another name. There's another. See, that's the horse racing coming. Yeah, they've got the Godolphin stable. Chris Waller, he's my favourite trainer. I don't know why. I tell you, because until today, he was really the only one I knew.
Okay.
Now
you know about Team Hawks?
Now I know Team Hawks. Yeah. They're flying along, 9th Legion. Now, I'm just getting all these horses in my head now.
Well, there you go. Well, Michael just gave you four for the autumn. They've got four of the best sprinters in training, Deep Field, Chautauqua, Moss Fun, who trials on Tuesday, and our boy Malachi. And they've got a wealth of talent, but four absolutely outstanding sprinters. And they've got the luxury of sort of keeping them apart as much as they can until, as Michael said, the big grand finals, probably day one of the championships, Stewie, which is a race called the TJ Smith Stakes,
yes,
where I dare say Deep Field and Chautauqua in particular will be aimed at. And that could be the race of the autumn carnival.
Yeah, certainly. Well, it's all ahead of us, Ray. I'll be real and truly in-depth in the whole sport by then. And,
exactly.
You know,
buying horses, racing with Chris Waller and
everything. I tell you the thing I've got to do. Someone's going to show me how to read the form guide to start with.
Okay.
I know how it works. I can see the prices, tab.com.au, if I really want the prices.
Mm.
But, you know, maybe that's stage one. Maybe the owning of horses is down the track.
Rome wasn't built in a day, Stu. We'll get there.
Let's go to the open line, 13:53:53. Morning, Judy.
Hi, how you going?
Good, thank
Morning,
you.
Judy.
Listen, guys, I was hoping you could give me some advice being a woman in sport.
Well, we'll probably struggle with this, Judy, but we'll do our best.
Yeah.
Well, just from a man's perspective,
mm-hmm,
because all I know about is South Sydney, right? I eat and breathe South Sydney.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
When it comes to other sport, I have no idea.
Sure.
So what I do is I go and I hear conversations, I go and sneak in the another room and Google stuff, and then I try and act really smart.
Sure.
Do you think that's a good idea, or should I just stay stupid?
No, go and Google it. Then you can pretend to everyone that you know a lot about the sport. And even if you don't, you can just pretend.
Well, that's what I've been doing, but then I get a bit out of my depth, and then is there some key phrases I should just stay and say, and then I look smart?
Done good, played strong.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, actually, Judy, you're looking good anyway, because South Sydney is still the reigning NRL premiers. You must be looking forward to 2015.
Oh, my word, yes. I've got everything red and green all over my house, my car, everything, and I just keep maintaining the rage because it's not over yet until the next grand final.
Exactly.
What about the decision to replace John Sutton as captain with Greg Inglis?
Well, I didn't think John Sutton was that strong a leader. Okay, he's been with the club since they got back in the comp, and he always had a potential, but I think it affects John Sutton's game, actually, being captain and having that responsibility, whereas GI can handle it.
There you go, Stu. That's a pretty impressive answer there.
Again, you sound like you know what you're talking about.
Exactly,
I know that's South Sydney, but what you just said then is applicable to all sports.
Yeah.
You just got to watch the game. I think that's the first thing you need to do. Mm. Watch the sport.
Yeah, watch it. And because you get to some things and it's like, oh, you know, you guys spin off this terminology like ODI and all this, and I think all I know is UDI. I don't know what an ODI is.
Judy's our first female call. She deserves a prize.
Judy, you're getting a prize. Stay on the line. Jeremy out there will get a hold of you. We'll get a big sports breakfast hat or a pack or something coming your way. Now, if you're wondering, you just flicked on the show and you were wondering, what's happened to the race? Where's Mal? Where's Jimmy? Don't fret. Don't fret. The race, the show's changed a little bit. Ray will be on from 6 till 9.
There's more racing.
Yeah, there's more. It's racing anytime. It's a bit more like the weekday show now where there will be racing. If you want to talk to Ray about anything to do with racing, you now don't have to call between 6 and 7. 6 and 10.
Bit of racing, bit of sport, bit of fun, Stuart.
It is. So, and Ron from Moray, look, mate, we appreciate that the show's not the way it used to be, but it's the new way of the show moving forth.
And give us a call, Ron.
Call in. You can have your say. You can speak to Ray at any stage.
Japan's government has condemned a video released by the Islamic State showing the apparent execution of one of their citizens. The new footage is different to other clips, with one Japanese hostage holding a photo of the other, who appears to have been beheaded. Japan's Chief Cabinet Secretary Yoshihide Suga says they're racing to verify the video.
This is an abominable and unforgivable act of violence. We strongly condemn this action. We strongly request that no harm be done to the remaining person, Kenji Goto, and that he be released immediately.
A young teenage girl has spent the night behind bars in the state's central west after allegedly stabbing a taxi driver. The 13-year-old is accused of knifing the driver in the throat in Dubbo yesterday morning. Meantime, a man is in hospital after being stabbed while trying to break up a brawl at Mount Annan in Sydney's southwest. A landmark overhaul of the adoption system will give parents help from a new bureau dedicated to cutting red tape. The Telegraph reports a team of Australian officials will travel to Vietnam this week to revive our lapsed adoption agreement. It's hoped a deal will be finalised with the US by July. A rocket attack has killed at least 30 people and injured almost 50 others in a key government-held city in Ukraine. Larry Miller reports.
A crowded open-air market in Mariupol was hit by a multiple rocket attack. However, pro-Russian separatists deny they're responsible. The strategically important coastal city is still held by Ukraine troops, but the rebels have positioned 6 miles from the outskirts. If they were to take the city, it would be a major prize, and it wouldn't be without a fierce battle. NATO sources say Russia sent weapons over the border in the last few days. The Kremlin insists U.S. satellite images were faked.
In other news, police have added a major drug dealer to the state's most wanted list after he failed to appear in court on 27 charges. Labor's pledging to return Goat Island to the Aboriginal people of New South Wales if it comes to power in March. And this Australia Day, the Greens are wrapping up the campaign for mandatory country of origin labelling on food packaging. In sport, Bernard Tomic and Nick Kyrgios will be seeking to break a decade-long drought and make it into the quarterfinals of the Australian Open when they face their fourth round tests today. Tomic is the third match of the day, while Kyrgios won't start until later tonight. A local hope hasn't reached the men's singles quarterfinals of the tournament since Leighton Hewitt's run to the 2005 final. Rafael Nadal and Andy Murray are also on court today. The Sydney Sixers have stunned the Adelaide Strikers with an 87-run win to make it into the Big Bash League final. Sydney will play the winner of today's fixture between the Perth Scorchers and Melbourne Stars. Sydney Sixers skipper Moses Henriques has told 10 he's comfortable with their performance this competition.
Well, I don't think we've been that bad. We haven't played as well as we'd like to see us play, but, you know, we've got just as many wins as the other teams at this stage. So, you know, we're still competing well and staying in the contest.
Shane Watson and David Warner are expected to return to the Australian side for Monday's one-day international tri-series clash with India at the SCG. Both players missed Friday's three-wicket win over England with hamstring troubles. Sydney SC has defeated Central Coast 5-1, ending their mid-season A-League drought. In the other game, Adelaide United beat Newcastle Jets 7-0. And Aussie Cameron Davis and Kiwi Tyler Hodge will battle it out for the Australian amateur title over 36 holes at the Australian Golf Club. This is Macquarie National News. It's at 26 minutes to 8.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
The chance of afternoon showers and a storm today, tops of 35 degrees in the city, 36 in the west, drizzle tomorrow for Australia Day. Right now in town it's 22 degrees, humidity is 90%, winds are from the west-northwest at 4 kilometres an hour, it's 21 at Bankstown.
Stand by. Stalls are back and racing.
For the most comprehensive wrap of all the weekend's racing, don't miss Punters Postmortem. Expert analysis, the ones to follow. Punters
Post-Mortem with TK, Dino and the Duff. Monday mornings at 9, brought to you by TAB on Sky Sports Radio.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Codes of Practice, which have been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The codes relate to taste and decency, accuracy and fairness in news and current affairs and advertising. Copies of the codes are available from Commercial Radio Australia. If you feel a code of practice has been breached, your complaint should be made in writing and directed to the manager, Sky Sports Radio, GPO Box 4168, Sydney 2001.
Everyone loves the skill and excitement of the EPL and A-League, but no one loves a nil-all draw. That's why at the TAB, we've decided that if you have a correct score bet on any EPL or A-League clash this season and the game ends nil-all, we'll refund your bet in full. That's right, if the game ends in a nil-all draw, we'll refund your bet. Get on at your local TAB, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Terms and conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet with the new album from O'Shea, The Famine and the Feast. There's Garth Brooks' album, Man Against Machine. Carrie Underwood's Greatest Hits, Decade Number One. And new albums from Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson, Trisha Yearwood and the Doobie Brothers. All albums available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred, maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Stewie, you should be paying attention to this. Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first online auction. Stewie, horses go under the hammer from 7pm, the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogues are available 5 days prior. Stuart, trading horses has never been easier. No more unnecessary transport of valuable assets. With regular sales, there's no more waiting. Stuart, we'll get you into a horse shortly. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock across Australia and internationally. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you, Stuart.
All right, I'm on.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Now, welcome back to the program, 7:37. Hello, boys, just tuned in. Has Jimmy been resold? Sounding great for the 5 minutes I've heard. Cheers, Phil. Phil, look, no, he hasn't. he hasn't been resold. He'll be back in the NRL soon. Just a bit of a change in the format of the way the show's going to go.
Is there a harder working man than Jimmy Smith, though?
As I said, if you want to get a hold of Jimmy, he's on about 63 other radio stations. Just flick one on. Just any time of the day, he's on. So, no, he hasn't been resold. I think end of February, early March, I think.
For the NRL season.
He's back. So, he'll be coming up. Judy, don't hold your breath waiting for the hat. There's no name on that one. No, Judy, you will get a hat.
There has been issues on the Sunday show, as you well know.
There's issues with just prizes, and we promise a lot and deliver very little, Ray, to be fair. So.
Well, let's create a new mantra now. If we promise something, it gets delivered
soon.
New show,
new delivery system.
Exactly.
I think we've got to get the people that do the deliveries in. Coming up, we've got David Gallop to talk about the Asian Cup and also the A-League, which kicked off again last night. If you only just joined us and haven't heard, Sydney FC 5. The Mariners won.
They were good too, Sydney FC.
The return of Arnie to the Central Coast. There's been a lot of hooing and hollering about the promotion that went on. But Graham Arnold, well, he let the football do the talking last night.
And I said it all morning, Stewie, but Bernie Abini, I love watching him play soccer. He is so good, so fast. His ball control is brilliant. As soon as he gets the ball, he's one of those sporting people that when he gets the ball, you sit up and take notice, don't you? Yeah. Something's going to happen.
Loves the breakaways, fast break.
He's so quick
on his feet. You're right, good ball skill. A couple of other results. Chelsea and Manchester City were knocked out of the FA Cup last night by two teams not in the Premier League, First Division and I think a Second Division team knocked them out of the FA Cup. And Liverpool had a nil-all draw this morning with Bolton.
At Anfield.
Mm. They've now got to go to, I think it's Macron Stadium, to play Bolton, which, as I said earlier, the Bolton people, the Bolton marketers, will be falling over themselves. Because you've got Stevie G and the boys turning up for a game against Bolton. So it's been a remarkable night.
As you mentioned it earlier, FA Cup does it every year. And, of course, earlier in the weekend, Cambridge United, the non-league team, drew 0-0 at home with the great Manchester United. Now they have to go to Old Trafford. But still, they're still in the FA Cup in the fourth round. Those fairy tale stories, it happens every year in the FA Cup, Stu.
It certainly does. So, you know, again, as you said, the Cambridge United manager was asked in the press conference, can you go to Old Trafford and beat Manchester United?
Pregnant pause?
No, this is the answer to that question. Well, it must be such a thrill to go up there and play those guys in, you know, what is arguably the biggest soccer tournament. I know people ring up and say the Spanish League and Real Madrid and Barcelona, but in Australia...
EPL.
EPL, you know, the Fox viewing numbers for EPL are huge. Middle of the night type stuff too. It's not like it's on at 7:30 at night.
How about the Fox viewing numbers for the Asian Cups, Stu? Because I don't know about you, but I look forward to these games every night now. Now I have to wait until Monday night the first semi. But I think they've been compelling. Great sporting theatre. As I said, that Iran-Iraq match, I just turned on just to see what was going on. It was compulsive viewing. You couldn't watch away. And that second half in extra time and a penalty shootout's amazing stuff from two teams that we don't follow, obviously, little about. But it was just extraordinary sport.
One team we do follow is the Socceroos, and they've become very much the flavour of the week or the month at the moment. Timmy Cahill, what about his goal?
Oh, incredible.
The scissor kick. Like, the ball sort of lobbed to him, and everyone sort of stood off him, and what's going to happen here? Mm. Timmy Cahill being Timmy Cahill. Scissor kick, kicks it in the right-hand corner of the goal. Australia are 1-0 ahead. And then the header. I don't think people pay enough credence to the header.
He's not a tall man,
he's
Timmy Cahill.
Guy.
And he continually does that against some of the world's best defences. He's done it in the EPL, he's done it in America, he's done it in World Cups. He's now scored two of the best goals you've seen in the last 12 months. But his goal in Brazil was extraordinary. And that scissor kick in the Asian Cup, outstanding.
The precision he seems to be able to head the ball and pass the ball. You can see why he's a star, or has been a star in the EPL. And now with the Red Bull, New York Red Bulls, whatever they're called. Just again, just at 34 too, you sort of think, you know, winding down. But he sort of now, when he came out and said he mightn't go to the next World Cup, I think, you know, Ange may have gone up to him at some stage and said, listen, we need you. You mightn't be able to play 90 minutes every game, but we need you around to mentor the young guys, bring them through. Mm. But also we need your class. And I think he's got, we talk about it in cricket. You look at a player and you go, he's got a touch of class about him. You hear Mark Waugh say it on the commentary in the Big Bash all the time. Well, Timmy Cahill, he has that touch of class.
And some of those younger guys feed off that and they learn from it, and their experience again playing against a world class, playing with a world class player like Tim Cahill. You can see this Australian team, Stewie. These young guys are really rising to the occasion at the moment.
Yeah, certainly as well. David Gallop, he's in charge of the FFA, and he's up next.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Well, he's a former first-grade cricketer. He was the boss of the NRL, but now he's the boss of the FFA, and he joins us on the line. Morning, David.
Good morning, guys.
You must be over the moon with the Asian Cup thus far.
Yeah, it's definitely exceeded expectation. Mm. Obviously, in terms of the Socceroos, we're going well and on track for the big prize. But beyond the Socceroos, it really has been an eye-opener. I think we've been surprised by the crowd numbers that we've got to the non-Socceroo games, the way people have got behind the tournament, seeing people celebrate their own heritage and celebrate the multiculturalism of the country. It's been really fantastic.
Yeah, Dave, good morning. Thanks for joining us. The standard of play as well, Dave, apart from the tournament itself and Australia's success, which was so pivotal, I think, to making the whole Asian Cup experience better than even you expected, but the standard of play has been outstanding.
Yeah, I think, I leave that to the experts in terms of the technical skills, but 24 games without a draw, players have been playing to get goals, and everyone's enjoyed the skill level, and that augurs well for the future of Asian football.
It certainly does. Now, Australia take on the UAE in Newcastle. Well, I'm not sure if this was possible. Was there any thought or an asterisk to potentially bring that game to Sydney?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, the Socceroos losing to South Korea meant that they crossed over in the draw. Part of the whole arrangement with the New South Wales government was to play games in Newcastle, and it'll be a fantastic night up there. Newcastle's got such a rich history in football, and we're really looking forward to seeing a packed house up there on Tuesday night.
Dave, the success of the Asian Cup, as you mentioned earlier, has been above expectations. How does the FFA build on this going forward, given that the A-League is also really sort of starting to come of age this season? Viewing numbers on Fox?
Yeah, I mean, every time we're on television, whether it's the A-League or the Asian Cup, we want to get good numbers. Mm. And I'm sure that there are, you know, kids in backyards who've been watching the Asian Cup and are going out, maybe even trying to do an overhead kick like Tim Tate. So, you know, every time we do something, it's going to inspire young kids to play football, inspire fans to get behind. We unashamedly want to make that connection with A-League clubs. Mm. So the A-League started again over the weekend, and we get back into that as soon as the Asian Cup's over.
No, you certainly do. Has there been any numbers come out of how many people have actually watched in Asia? You know, China played Australia the other night, and, you know, the numbers in Australia are great, but some of the numbers when you start talking Asian
internationally
become astronomical.
Yeah, I mean, that number in China, I think 52 million people are watching, you know, they're kind of... is the sort of numbers that you never hear about in Australian sport.
No.
So we always knew that this is a massive part of the planet. The Asian Football Confederation goes from the Middle East right across to Japan, and there's so much diversity and so much population there. But we still needed the tournament to go well, and that's what it's done.
One of the key things, I think, David, from what I've watched of the Socceroos in particular, is this new breed of younger player who is coming through in the national team that Ange Postecoglou has basically put together over the last 12 months. He's obviously had this Asian Cup in mind. He's gone through a number of players in prelim matches to work out his best combination. He looks to have the blend right of some of the mature players, as Stewie mentioned, like a Timmy Cahill, and these younger kids who have just risen to the occasion.
Yeah, obviously very pleasing. We said to him when we gave him the job that we wanted to regenerate the team on and off the field.
Mm.
He's tried a lot of players over the 12 months, and we've seen some of those young guys benefit from that experience. The other pleasing thing is that the work we've put into the off-field preparation, our sports science guy Craig Duncan, who's done work with the New South Wales State of Origin team recently, that the sports science is now world-class. Everything from the nutrition to where they stay to how they train, it's all set up for them. We can't score the goals for them, but we can certainly give them world-class preparation, and I'm proud of how we've done that.
No, it certainly can. Now, was there any concern with Ange, different stages? I know he had a couple of losses and a draw. Did you ever have any concerns?
No, not at all. I mean, he always said that he was building towards something.
Mm.
We had a tough experience in Brazil, playing really top-class opposition, and everyone felt we played a good style, although we didn't get the results. And then we went into some friendlies, and he tried more combinations, but we've always had faith that he knew what he was doing.
I think that's a key, isn't it, Dave? Because I don't want to be critical of Pim Verbeek, but the Socceroos under his watch basically were, dare I say, a very defensive unit. Ange Postecoglou, when he was at Brisbane, Melbourne Victory, now the Socceroos, He gets his players to play an upbeat style. They're attractive to watch.
Yeah, that's right. And he's always said that it takes a while for players to adjust to the way he wants them to play. You know, in Australian sport, every time we play, we want to win. So sometimes it did feel a bit frustrating when we were playing friendlies and not getting the scoreline that we wanted. But we knew we were building towards the Asian Cup. And we've also got an eye on making sure we qualify for 2018 Russia. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the players that we've got, the Luongos, the Leckies, Jason Davidson, these guys, they'll be at the height of their powers come 2018.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hopefully we're there for Russia.
Well, let's hope so. David, good luck with the Asian Cup coming up. Good luck to the Socceroos. Well done to you, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Good on you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Dave.
There he is, David Gallop, FFA CEO, and as I said, must be over the moon with the Asian Cup and the A-League at present.
And good of him to give us his time on a Sunday morning, given that the FA Cup's now, you know, the penultimate round, basically, and there's so much on, but there's something building with soccer and football in Australia. It's the next big thing.
Now, a Sky Sports Radio morning goes that extra mile. This is what it feels like. On Mondays, Going Greyhounds moves to a 10:30 start. Tuesdays, John Tapp presents On the Pace, also at 10:30. And every day after 11, there's previews for harness and greyhound racing. Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader. If you're after a skid steer loader that leads the way in quality, reliability and durability, then Toyota Material Handling has the right solution for you. That's because for earth moving and excavating, the Toyota Husky skid steer loader leads the pack. From 320 to a massive 900 kilogram capacity, get the Husky skid steer loader from Toyota Material Handling. It's that top dog in the dirt. Call 1-800-425-438 or visit toyotaskidsteerloader.com.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy boasts a full range of products, including Coco Joy 100% coconut water, naturally sweeter than the others, but with no added sugar, no hidden nasties, just full of goodness. Then there's Coco Joy coconut milk and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy. At a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Warners Bay Hotel, the hub of hospitality in the Lake Macquarie District, has added another dynamic dimension to its customer-friendly services. Now there's a state-of-the-art tab facility, including more than 20 dedicated tab screens, 5 betting terminals, 7 electronic form panels, as well as indoor and outdoor wagering facilities. A punter's delight. Join Miracle Mal Johnson Saturday, January 31st for the launch of the Warners Bay Hotel's exciting new tab. You'll be hands-on to approve.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Stewie, I need you to pay attention here. This is part of your future. We've got Anthony Gaffer from bloodstockauction.com joining us. Anthony, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, terrific, Anthony. Look, Anthony, I've been trying to get Stewie involved in the sport, and I think we can, but... And your bloodstockauction.com site just might be the right facility. You guys had an auction last Tuesday. What was the clearance rate, Anthony?
We got it up over 80% again. We under the live auction, we had 44 lots and 36 sold, and then after the hammer. Well, we contacted
Anthony, we might just get you to stand still. We're just losing you, just dropping in and out. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, is that a new...
That's better.
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you for that, Anthony. Appreciate it. You were saying?
Yeah, there's 44 lots. We sold 40 under auction conditions. I think there's a bit of an echo on the phone, guys.
Yeah, no, we've got you. You're clear. Keep going.
Okay, yeah, then we sold 40. And then in the end, we sold 40.
Good clearance rate.
We done deals on about 5 afterwards.
Well, what are the vendors saying? They must be happy.
Yeah, look, it's good. At the end of the sale, we do contact the vendors, make sure they're happy with the results, and yeah, mate, the vendors are very happy with the results.
Mm. Anthony, you're expanding the business base. I understand you had a trip to Melbourne and visited some stud farms and racetracks there recently.
Yeah, part of our job is to make sure that the people do know about it. We are doing different marketing strategies, and yeah, look, the guys down in Melbourne went down and visited the farms and the racetracks. To make sure that people are out there buying horses off our site.
Now you have 2 auctions a month. Why 2?
Yeah, look, the idea of having 2 auctions is to ensure people can move horses at that regular frequency, because people are holding horses in their stables for a couple of months. If they're wanting to sell a horse, there's no avenue to move horses, but this gives them that opportunity to move horses.
Anthony, what about the next catalogue? Are you taking listings for that now?
Yeah, so the catalogue's open for about another 5 days. So the same, we're looking to keep the catalogue to around about 40 horses again.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that catalogue, yeah, then we sort of open the catalogue up to get greater numbers.
And how do I list if I want to list with bloodstockauction.com?
Yeah, I guess that's one of the beauties of our site. It's really easy to jump on and go online. It says list a horse, and then basically there's five simple steps. You can upload photos. We encourage you to put good quality videos. But Arion pedigrees are on board, so once you punch in the name of the horse, basically all the information is autofill, so it's really, really easy.
See, Anthony, I can see Stewie's mind ticking over already. I think we've got a potential client here. Exactly. Anthony, look, thanks for joining us again this morning, and the best of luck going forward with the next catalogue.
Yeah, that's great, guys. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Anthony.
Bye.
There he is, Anthony Gaffer from bloodstockauction.com. I've got to have a horse before I can list it, Ray. I've got to buy one first. I've got to go to the actual auction first, buy a horse. And then, yeah, when it becomes a Melbourne Cup winner...
Well, our good friend Miracle Mal Johnson's heavily involved with bloodstockauction.com. We might lean on him.
Oh, definitely. Well, he's so much littler than me, I have to lean on him. So, definitely. Let's go to the open line, 1353 is the number. Angelo's there. Good morning, Angelo.
Yeah, Stewie, just a couple of things. We talked before about how Australia always relies on Tim Cahill.
But yes.
The thing, the way Tim Cahill plays, he's our centre forward.
Yes.
So when they get the ball across, it's his job to score the goal. So
it is, correct.
I'd be more worried if he wasn't scoring the goals. You know?
Good point. Yeah.
Good point, Angelo. Mm. And I think they've come out and said that quite openly, that he's the focal point. We've got to get the ball to him.
That's exactly right. But a little trivia thing, you can check it with Andy Pascalides when you talk to him.
Mm-hmm. We will.
Tim Cahill, as a 14-year-old, played for the country of birth of his mother. I think it was Samoa. In a trial game for the seniors.
Well,
under FIFA rules, he was deemed to be an international for that country.
Well, thankfully, Angelo, he's an Australian soccer roo, because hasn't he been a legend for the sport here?
That's correct. Mm. Football Australia did fight for him and then went to FIFA and asked him to have that game annulled so he could play in the youth championship for Australia. So it was just an interesting thing that we could have lost him.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Thank goodness that didn't happen, Anthony. Angelo, you say Samoa, is that what you say?
I think it was Samoa. It was one of those island countries. It was a turf country of his mum.
All right, we'll try.
Our man Hamish is giving it the thumbs up. He loves his football, Angelo, so he's agreeing with you. And the good thing about, we mentioned earlier, Angelo, isn't Timmy Cahill amazing for a man of his height? He's not overly tall. How often he manages to get into position to make those headers and head in goals.
He is an amazing athlete. Mm. And I always thought him and Paduka were the two best exports that we brought.
Mark Paduka,
and everyone else. But Mark Paduka, skillfully, was just as good, but unfortunately didn't get the chance at national level like
Tim has. Yeah.
But Tim Cahill is an absolute gem.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your call, Angelo. Thank you for that. Timmy Cahill, there's no question that he's a star. Mark Paduka chose not to come back and played a couple of times too. And Bosnich, another two.
That's right.
Bozza was another guy that... It was when there was a real conflict between country v club.
And both made their marks in the EPL, which is, as you said earlier, Stu, he's probably the world's most demanding, or at least the most watched soccer competition anywhere, and both were genuine superstars.
Yeah, they were. Now, if you want to have a bet on the Asian Cup 2015, you go to tab.com.au. Australia are paying $1.85. This is to win the Asian Cup. $1.85. South Korea, $2.75. They're the team that beat Australia in the group stage. United Arab Emirates, who Australia take on, I think, on Wednesday night, at $8. And Iraq, they're at $9. So Australia, very much the firm favourites moving forth into the final stages of the Asian Cup, which has been outstanding. I think Adrian's on the open line, 1353-53. No, he's not. He's not there. He's chatting away someone outside. Sorry. Ray, you...
Well, what I was going to say, Stewie, is Monday night's game between South Korea and Iraq. I think South Korea will get through there. Iraq were good against Iran, but I got the sense that was almost... dare I say it, their grand final against their arch enemies, Iran, and Iraq got through. And South Korea, a very well organised team defensively, they're well structured, and I think they can get past Iraq. We might be playing, hopefully we're playing South Korea.
Oh, I hope so. It's a good rematch. We had it all over them. We just couldn't kick the ball. Mind you, we didn't start with Robbie Cruz, Tim Cahill, or Matthew Leckie.
Exactly.
They all sat on the bench. And Nathan Burns is good, and we're going to talk to Nathan a bit later on, but they're not the class. He's not, he'd probably be the first to say he's probably not the class of Tim Cahill.
UAE are no pushovers, though. I know Japan absolutely dominated them and should have won the game, but they're also a very well-organised defensive team, and they've got some strike power up front, so they've scored a number of goals in the prelim rounds. They're not out of contention at all, Stu, but you would expect Australia to get past them at Newcastle on Tuesday night, and it's going to set up for an amazing... A full house for sure at ANZ Stadium for the final.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, after the 8 o'clock news, we've got Anthony Seabrook, Leo Schlink and Andy Pascalides. We're talking a lot of football this morning to wrap up all matters football. We're also taking your calls, 13 53 53, 0419 767 272, if you want to send an SMS to the program. That's 0419 SMS BSB, or if you want to get us on the tweets at Big Sports. When talking all things sport, whether it be Nick Kyrgios, his hair, do you like Nick Kyrgios, Asian Cup, Australia, are they going to win, or the cricket, Australia take on India tomorrow, and tonight, the start.